We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the Gainbridge Ball State Cardinals Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome to the Varsity House Bird Feed on the Ball State Gainbridge Network. Here is your host, Joel Godette.
All right, we're back at it with week number three of the Bird Feed Live. The Cardinals coming off their loss at Penn State this past Saturday, getting set to go on the road this Saturday, 4 o'clock Eastern time. They'll take on the Wyoming Cowboys in a matchup between teams from the Mid-American Conference and the Mountain West. On the Bird Feed Live this week, it was myself, it was Mike New, it was Bryce Cosby, and we started with Coach New breaking down his general feelings about the outcome in Happy Valley.
We had a good film session, had a great meeting with the team last night, and our focus and our preparation is full speed ahead now in Wyoming.
Is that the most frustrating part about it? Because, like, yes, you took on a team that is now a top 10 team in the country. So, like, on paper, you're not, quote-unquote, supposed to win that game, even though you feel really good about your chances going into it. But you look at it after the fact and go, we left some opportunities on the field, and the final score is not indicative of what you wanted to get out of it.
Well, that's the main thing, is that, you know, when you do have an opportunity to make some plays, you got to make it happen. When you're playing against a good opponent like that, you got to earn everything. They're not going to give anything to you. They got a good roster from top to bottom. They've done a good job in recruiting. Coach Franklin and his staff have done a great job in recruiting. So when you get some opportunities like we had, you have to be able to execute those to be able to give yourself a chance to compete. And at the end of the day, to even give yourself a chance to have the scoreboard be in your favor at the end of the game, you got to make sure you execute when you have an opportunity. And we just did not get that done.
There were 105,000 people inside Happy Valley on Saturday. What did it sound like at field level?
You know, so such an awesome environment when you talk about college football and how interactive the fans were, and the student section was full. And, it was cool. You know, that's something that certainly was very appreciative to be able to play in that kind of environment and to experience that. You know, it's such a storied program with a great history. And, that was the coolest part for me, is just to see, you know, how into it the fans were from pulling up to the stadium, seeing them all out there tailgating. And then, you know, once they got into the stadium, how interactive they were from the first time the ball was kicked off until the last play.
Interactive is a good way to put it. I feel like
they were well schooled up. I'll say that they were well schooled up on all the chants. They were well schooled up on the kickoffs and what takes place. They were well schooled up You know, and they made it tough. Obviously, we got down in the red zone a couple of times down there in the student section end zone, and they did a great job because we had a couple penalties that, you know, we worked all week long to eliminate the pre-snap penalties, and we had one. You know, we were moving a little bit early at the running back position, so we had a penalty that way, but they did a good job.
We were walking to the stadium at about 11 o'clock, so you have to keep in mind this is a 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. Jack and I and Matt, our tickets guy, were walking to the stadium at about 11:15. And to say that they were lively would have been an understatement. It was interesting. We got some jeers, and we just kind of waved and smiled and kept walking. But it was a sight to be a part of, I guess would be the way to say it.
Yeah, they were ready. And, you know, for the first time having a game there since 2019, you know, you could tell they were eagerly anticipating that game, and they were excited to be back at full capacity and create a special environment.
All right, so we've slid Bryce Cosby in here now, senior safety. We're talking about crowds from Saturday. What did playing in front of 105,000 people feel like to you?
It was a great feeling. As I spoke, you know, prior to the game, you know, I think that was the atmosphere that we all wanted and looked forward to. And, you know, I kind of told the guys in the locker room before the game to, you know, just be ready to weather the storm, you know, home opener. 9/11, you know, there was a lot of energy in the air, a lot of emotions. So we kind of knew that they were going to come out hot, and you know, trying to get our guys ready for that. But yeah, it was an atmosphere that you know, I was comfortable in, I enjoyed, and yeah, it was definitely lively out there.
Bryce, what was your ultimate takeaway? Obviously, not the performance you wanted to have, but what did you take in a positive sense about? All right, this is where we are. This is where we need to go, and this happened on Saturday that helped us get there.
I think the negative that I took away turns into a positive because, you know, following that game, you know, there's a certain criteria as a team that we feel like that we need to meet every game regardless of the opponent. And, you know, we didn't meet those criteria. And it's some of them are intangible things. It's nothing X's and O's related. And so, you know, the positive to that is knowing that we just got to get back to our true selves and playing the football that we know we're capable of playing. We've put it on film before. The evidence is there. It's on me as a leader and us as players to, you know, take heed to that, take it full on the chin, head on, and, you know, look forward to Wyoming. But like I said, the proof is in the pudding. You know, we've put it on tape that we can play to that ability. So it's on us to get back to the Ball State way.
Mike, what's that criteria to you?
Oh, I just playing hard. You know, we kind of refreshed our memory a little bit last night. You know, I think back to, you know, before the 2019 season started, and, you know, guys on the leadership council, Bryce being one of them, presented me with, you know, out the mud and what that meant to them. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's some things that go into it without, you know, saying it here on the air, but there's, you know, just about being hungry and, going back to being a little bit blue collar, and we got to put the work in. Yes, we're talented. Yes, we have experience, but you know, you got to love playing the game. And you got to know that, you know, the preparation and how hard you go through your work week, that'll determine whether or not you can have success at the end of it. And so it's not flashy. It's nothing that we can't get fixed. But you know, it takes a little bit of reflection. It takes a little bit of you know, looking yourself in the mirror, and I know our guys will respond to that.
Bryce, the criteria to you or what?
Yeah, kind of just piggybacking off what Coach New said. It's just the attitude, the effort, and the mentality that we take the field with every game. I feel like he said, we've got the guys in the locker room. If we're in the right headspace on a daily basis, then you know, come game day, I feel like it's you know, it can go either way. You know, I like my guys against anybody, and so but like I said, this starts, you know, when we start with preparation for whoever our opponent is, and it's got to lead into game day. And so, like I said, I think it's just the mentality, the attitude, and the effort that we play with. It's not, like I said, it's not something that we haven't already done before. You know, the proof is in the pudding. But like I said, it's on us as leaders to get this to where it needs to be.
All right, one of the things that we talked about as a positive, though, on the broadcast, and it was one of the things that we highlighted on this show last week going into the game, was the explosive play. You guys were really concerned of making sure that Penn State wasn't going to get behind you and wrap off a 50, 60, 70-yard touchdown, which they did. It's the reason they were able to beat Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we kept saying on the broadcast, and Coach Spezak kept pointing it out, was the amount of times that Sean Clifford dropped back, and just stood there and surveyed the field and surveyed the field, and gosh, did he want to take a shot, and it wasn't there.
Right.
What did you guys do, and what did you feel good about in terms of your ability to cover them and cover them for long periods of time downfield?
I think that, you know, credit goes to Coach Stockton and, you know, our pass game coordinator, Josh Zeidenberg. You know, they had a great plan implemented going into the week in terms of just, like you said, eliminating the big play. You know, that was a point of emphasis. If anything happens, they're not going to just keep throwing. They're not going to throw the ball over our heads, you know, things like that. And so, you know, I think it was just the scheme that kind of really put us in position. You know, we gave them a mixture of different looks. You know, you don't want anybody to get comfortable with what you're doing. So we kind of tried to be multiple as a defense and throw a couple different things at them and, you know, kind of make them work their way down the field, basically. But, you know, there's still more work and improvement that needs to be done on our end as a defense.
Mike, what did you guys do in the pass game defensively that limited their ability to go over the top?
Well, it's exactly what Bryce just talked about, and I think it was impressive. You know, one of the things I discussed in the locker room when the game was over, the way we played defensively there in the second half, you know, really for a quarter and a half, for a quarter and a half there in the second half through the third and half the fourth quarter, we held them to 6 points. And so our guys responded and came out and played with good, with better detail in the second half and really did a good job of limiting, you know, Penn State from getting the ball in the end zone. And so you want to build off that. And we made some significant improvements from week one to week two when you talk about, you know, that part of your game from a defensive standpoint, and I expect our guys to continue to build on that. But, you know, obviously I knew just being next door to Coach Stockton and right down the hallway from Jay-Z, I knew how strongly they felt that, you know, I had a good plan in place. And obviously you knew Penn State being their home opener and being in a slugfest the week before, you knew they wanted to try to anything and everything they could to try to create some explosive plays for 105,000 people, and so I thought our guys really responded to that challenge.
Bryce, it's an interesting contrast because that was the thing that you guys were upset with that you didn't do well in week one. Mm-hmm. So I know moral victory is the wrong word, but it's like you're looking at the little pieces of like, all right, we wanted to do this today. Right. Do you walk away from Saturday saying, like, all right, here was something that went wrong in week one. Mm-hmm. We corrected it in week two. I feel good about that. Now let's see what happens in week three.
Yeah, I think I talked about it the last time we had one of these. It's more so just, you know, every game presents different challenges. And, you know, every week there might be something that you do good on film this week, and then the next week, you know, football is just – it's ever-changing. You know, there's – you never know what game is – how the ebbs and flows of the games are going to go. And so you kind of just have to roll with the punches and adjust. But, you know, we try to – There's a couple constants, I feel like, in every phase of the game: offense, defense, special teams, and tackling, blocking, getting off blocks. You know, those things turn into cool statistics like, oh, TFL, sacks, low passing yardage, things of that nature. So if you can focus on the fundamentals in every phase of the game, you know, the big plays, the things that more so fans and people in the stands look forward to, those will happen by nature because you're taking care of the business. But I feel like that just comes with, you know, each game is different. Each game is going to present its challenges. Every week the film is going to look a little different in certain aspects. But the best thing we can do is control, you know, the things that the fundamentals of the game is going to put us in position to be successful.
It's the Cardinals and Penn State this past Saturday at Happy Valley. They'll be at Wyoming this weekend on Saturday. It's a 4 o'clock Eastern kickoff, Mountain Time, 2 o'clock kick out west at 7,000 feet. We'll talk about playing at 7,000 feet in just a little bit. But, Mike, I want to talk about the offense for you guys. Run game not established, I'm sure, the way that you wanted it to be. But I want to talk about a running back in particular. And we briefly mentioned him last week. Carson Steele had a very good opener against Western Illinois. And then comes through in a really big spot for you on Saturday again. His first ever carry was on fourth down. He had two more fourth down conversions on Saturday, and he had one early in the game for a 21-yard pass on the way, you know, going in. It was deep in enemy territory. What'd you like about his moxie, and what is it about that kid that puts him in really big situations and just allows him to perform?
You know, we touched on it a little bit last week. Again, it just all comes down to his work ethic, really. His work ethic on the practice field, his work ethic in the meeting room is really his work ethic in the classroom. You know, I went and class checked him one of the classes, and he's sitting in the front row.
There you go.
And he was 15 minutes early, but those are the same things that take place when you talk about being in the meeting room. He's always one of the first guys in the team meeting room in the morning before we get started. But it's those same things. It's his work ethic. You know, he wants to be successful when he puts the work in, whatever it is that he's being asked to do. And, you know, now it's just a matter of getting him some more touches because, obviously, you know, as a freshman, when you first come in, it's not too big for him. That stage Saturday wasn't too big for him, so now it's about making sure that, you know, we get him more involved because he's earned that, and we'll continue to grow that. You know, for us offensively, we didn't get off to a good enough start. You know, we get off to a slow start. We missed some opportunities to connect in that first drive, and, you know, that simply just can't happen. And so when you're playing at a place like that and you have some opportunities right out of the gate to start the game and to sustain a drive and put a scoring drive together, that has to happen because, again, offensively the other day put the defense in a bad position in the first half, you know, with a number of plays that were run, and it ended up, you know, being a little more even there as you approached halftime. But early in the game, we put the defense in a bad spot.
They are obviously on scholarship. They've got good players. They've got big players up front. But I know you guys pride yourselves on the ability to run the ball. What did you not like about your ability to open up holes and create a run game that would have kept you on a schedule, on a tempo, and put you in a better spot offensively?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, what happens when you get in that situation, and you know, sometimes the running backs get a little bit eager for a cutback, and they don't stay, you know, on their initial track, if you will, or initial course, and trust that it's going to eventually, you know, open up, because our guys up front really did a good job of getting some push. They really did a good job playing physical. It wasn't anything that Penn State, their defensive line, wasn't knocking our guys back. So now you just got to stay a little bit more disciplined, and you know, those are things that, you know, we didn't pop off a big one, if you will, but we ground out a few tough yards here and there. But really, that's the difference when you turn the tape on. It's just staying disciplined with your track and trusting that it's gonna eventually open up there.
Bryce, last week we talked about a young guy that really made an impact in Tavian Woodard, and you gave us the mean mugging down the hallway anecdote for him.
Yeah.
Last week at Penn State, you were the leading tackler. Your co-safety, Brett Anderson, was right behind you. Mm-hmm. Third on the team in tackles was a guy by the name of Cole Pierce,
okay,
who I don't think anybody that is not like a dedicated fan would be like, oh, yeah, Cole Pierce. That, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know him.
Right.
He has to step up without Brandon Martin out there for you. Mm-hmm. What did you like about Cole Pierce on the field on Saturday, and what do you like about having him playing in front of you in general?
Well, first, you know, if that wasn't a fair enough introduction, you know, I'll be the first to say, you know, Cole Pierce is a guy who comes to work every day with the right mindset, the right attitude. Things like this aren't a coincidence. But what I liked about Cole when he got in is this, that he didn't blink. You know, the coaches can preach, stay ready. You never know when your number's going to be called till they're blue in the face. But until that moment actually happens, no one really gets the magnitude of that situation. Because, you know, going into practice, you know, it's really tough to get everybody, you know, a lot of reps. Because, you know, after the ones and the twos, it's kind of tough to really get people involved. And so, you know, Cole definitely got reps during the week, but not as much as, per se, you know, Jalen Thomas or somebody of that nature. And so, you know, with the lack of true practice reps and then to go into an environment like Penn State and come in and get, I don't know how many he had, like eight tackles. You know, it just speaks to, you know, his readiness and his competitive, you know, nature, competitive attitude. I'm really proud of him. I like how he stepped up and, you know, he showed me a lot, you know, just really reassured me of what I already thought about him as a person, as a football player as well. But, you know, I just like the toughness and competitive nature that he came in and brought and didn't blink one bit, you know.
Mike, what's his backstory for you guys?
You know, and just to, you know, piggyback a little bit there on what Bryce said, you know, yes, he had eight tackles in about 12 plays. and so he was ready. And to his credit, just like Bryce said, I can stand up in the team meeting room. I can stand up before we take the field and leave the hotel in the last meeting that we have, and I can say, hey, make sure you're ready when your number's called. But he truly was ready when his number's called. He's played a lot for us and contributed significantly on special teams. He started in our program as a walk-on, and he's one of those young men that has just bought into, you know, working his tail off. You know, obviously try to communicate to guys it doesn't matter how you start, as long as you're putting it in on the practice field and the weight room and the classroom. you can get where you want to be at. And that was a huge step on Saturday for Cole to show that, you know, I can play at a high level and I can be trusted and you can count on me when my number gets called. And it was good to see that because, you know, that's what it's all about, the opportunities like that. And there's been some walk-ons that have come before him that, you know, have done that same thing. And I'm proud of Cole because I know how hard he's worked at it and I know how important it is to him.
Cole gets the opportunity because Brandon Martin is out for you right now. Mm-hmm. Bryce, what did you miss about, like, I think if there are two vocal leaders on defense, it's you and number seven. Mm-hmm. What did you miss about not having Brandon as kind of that other voice in the huddle for you before you take the field?
Yeah, well, honestly, you know, me and Brandon having come in together, you know, not having him for that game was definitely tough. I know this was a game that, you know, me and him both were looking forward to before the season. And, you know, just not having him for that game. He's always been that guy that, you know, through hell and hot water, I knew I could count on number seven. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about the energy he's going to bring, the consistency he's going to bring, the attitude he's going to bring. His aura alone raises my level. You know, if I'm feeling any type of lethargic, you know, I'll get uncomfortable if I'm around, you know, Brandon, just because, you know, that's just the kind of guy he is. And that's him to a core outside of football, you know. He's very meticulous about everything he does, and I'll forever respect him for that. But on Saturday, you know, I just missed having that presence. You know, he kind of gives me, on the back end, he gives me a comfort that everything in the front seven is going to be taken care of because he's handling everything in the middle. I'll take care of everything on the back end. And so he was kind of the yin to my yang, and, you know, it was unfortunate we couldn't have him for that game, but you know, like I said, he's a fighter, and, you know, we'll see what the future holds here.
I do like the idea of if you're not in the right mindset, you feel uncomfortable being around somebody because, like, you just have to bring it to a certain level.
Definitely. I mean, I'm telling you, like, you probably hear people say this a lot, but it's really not a gimmick. Like, people say the same thing about, like, Danny Penner. Like, that's who these guys are to the core. Brandon, I mean, yeah, it's you just got to see it in person. I mean, you've been to practice, so you know how it is. But, yeah, just his energy, you know, I miss that, knowing that, you know, I'm going to have a dog in front of me that's going to compete his tail off, which only raises the level of everybody else around him. And, you know, I really just try to emulate that, you know, on the back end. And, you know, hopefully all 11 can buy in, and then that's when we'll be a potent defense.
Well, it's going to be tough without him on Saturday, or what was tough without him on Saturday at State College, but certainly a guy that'll have a voice for you guys forever going forward.
Yes, sir.
So that is we'll leave it there for Saturday at Penn State. Not the result that you guys wanted, but, like, maybe two teams are going undefeated this year. So, you know, 11-1 sounds pretty good to me. We'll talk about the next stop on that journey, which is a trip to Wyoming, when we come on back after our timeout here on the Bird Feed Live, brought to us by Varsity House. You're listening to it here from the L.A. Pittenger Student Center on campus.
How much for those lessons?
Shh. She's doing great.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Great job, honey.
Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
While new vehicles may be harder to come by recently, Stoops Automotive has stocked their inventory with plenty of new-to-you vehicles to help you find the perfect ride. Cars, trucks, SUVs, all quality pre-owned at drive-home prices. And Stoops Automotive has an amazing staff to help you find exactly what you're looking for. Stoops Automotive, East Central Indiana's used car headquarters for over 30 years.
Visit them today on West Clare Lane in Muncie or at StoopsAuto.com.
Stoops, we're driven to be.
See dealer for details.
Imagine a commercial construction company that approaches every project as if it was their own property. Imagine one that makes decisions based on the core values as much as the bottom line. And imagine one that takes immense pride in both the projects and relationships it builds. It exists, and it's called Pridemark Construction. Pridemark Construction is a full-service commercial construction company backed by decades of industry experience with the capacity to complete both large and small projects that exceed client expectations. Proud of Ball State Athletics and proud of Ball State University.
Hear that? That's the plumpest, juiciest hot dogs you've ever seen getting their grill on. But we both know what'll make it sound even better.
Oh, yeah. It's a Pepsi to go with your hot dog. Because when you're chomping on America's favorite meal, relish, mustard, and onions perfectly blending into a crescendo of flavor, there's only one thing that makes everything about that moment better. A cold, refreshing Pepsi. See what I mean? It's like music to my ears. Hot dogs. Better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
All right, this is the Bird Feed Live as we continue here on campus at the L.A. Pittenger Student Center. Ball State getting set to take on Wyoming this Saturday. It's a 4 o'clock Eastern kickoff from 7,220 feet above sea level. It's the highest elevation in all of Division I college football. That's something that's nice to talk about. I don't know, Mike, does it make an impact when you're trying to breathe heavy at 7,000 feet?
Well, we'll find out. I haven't been in that situation, so certainly we'll find out. And obviously we want to be proactive, making sure we have all the resources available for the players if they're needed when it comes time to game day.
Does it make a difference in terms of preparation? A lot of times you'll talk about teams going to really hot environments, make sure you're hydrated, avoid cramping, things of that nature. This might be like an athletic training Sean Comer question, but are there things that you guys will do this week leading up to the fact you're going to be playing in a much different environment?
Well, there's not a whole lot when you talk about what we can do here in Muncie, Indiana to replicate what we're going to see out there. And obviously we practice when we practice because, you know, our schedule is pretty much dictated by the time that, you know, this is our time block. Guys go to class in the afternoon. So, and there's nothing I can do to magically or instantly change any
weather. You don't have those
Mount
Everest training things.
That's right. So really just being proactive with once we get out there, you know, what we can do for the guys to make sure we're good to go.
Bryce, your thoughts on going up that high?
I don't have the experience to kind of comment on what it's going to be like, but, you know, I play the game, you know what I'm saying? whatever comes with it, I'm with. So hot, cold, high elevation, I just strap it up and play.
I almost think the concern is probably more even like the flight, Mike, isn't it? You're flying almost the entire way across the country. We talk about hydration and all those types of things. That's an interesting preparation standpoint, and trying to flight jet lag, getting your body acclimated, spending that time on Friday once you get out there wisely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, once we get out there, you know, the hotel's a little bit of a ways away from where the stadium is at. So, you know, when we fly in, where we land at is close to the hotel. So, you know, being able to get to the stadium and, you know, on that day is going to be a challenge. But, you know, we're just going to go out there and we're going to make sure that we're ready to roll. And the flight is what the flight is. And, you know, I don't want to make too much hype and, you know, get caught up too much in the travel piece of it, because it is what it is. And you know, we'll be ready to go.
They did have season 6 of New Girl, though, streamable on your phone on the last flight. So I'm excited about how to spend my next 2 hours. Bryce, it's obviously a team that can score points. Mm-hmm. They hung 50 on Northern Illinois. They're a conference opponent for you guys. I know that you've probably watched that film or some film at this point. Mm-hmm. What have you seen about Wyoming that concerns you and that has your mind and interest peaked heading into Saturday?
Like you said, yeah, they're a potent offense. They got, you know, playmakers that can really stretch the field vertically. You know, a quarterback who can put the ball there, and then they got a running back who kind of balances them out and makes you play honest as a defense. You know, they're not too one-dimensional in the sense that they can run it and pass it. And so anytime you've got a balanced offense, you know, you got to be a balanced defense, man. And, you know, the front seven's got to be ready to play just like the back end's got to be ready to play. And so, you know, like I said, it's another challenge for us, and it's on us to be prepared for that and, you know, do what's necessary to get the result we want on Saturday.
Mike, what stands out about that diversity on offense? They've got legitimately 3 running backs that they rotate through. They've got no one set target at receiver. In some ways, they kind of mimic you guys in terms of offensive diversity and number of weapons.
Yeah, I think just the balance that they play with, you know, they're close to 200 yards rushing, close to 200 passing. I mean, they just got good balance offensively. They play hard. You know, their coordinator's got a background from Iowa. And so, you know, what you've seen over the years from using a fullback in your offense to, you know, being downhill and physical as a running team. I mean, you see a lot of those things, obviously, when you turn on the tape. And they got into a shootout with somebody that we know quite well in Northern Illinois. And Northern, you know, they had Northern Illinois down. It was 42-16 with about 3 minutes left. In the third quarter, and you know, Northern just, you know, fought and scrapped and clawed to get their way back into it. But you know, they've had 2-1 possession games now. They're 2-0, good football team. Coach Bowl has done a great job out there. You know, he won 3 national championships at North Dakota State before he became the head coach of the Wyoming program. So it's a great challenge. You know, they're 2-0 right now, and you know, we're 1-1, and we're going out there with a mindset that we got to go get ourselves a win on the road in a tough place to play.
That makes him Carson Wentz's college coach, doesn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. It's a name that will either enrage or delight Indianapolis natives after yesterday, depending on how you saw the film.
Right.
Parker Christensen, though, is their fullback, Mike. This is, I feel like, a throwdown of good old school. Like, can we get a West Side Story between Parker Christensen and Cody Rudy on this thing Saturday?
Yeah, it'd be great. I'm sure you're going to see a lot of both of those guys on Saturday on the field. So if you like that style of football and you like seeing those guys involved in the game, you like seeing physical play, it's definitely a game that you want to tune into because both those guys bring that to the table.
Why did we get away from that? I know the game has gone toward more of a wide open spread, speed, all that thing. But if you have a guy like that, like Cody Rudy is one of the most important guys on your team.
Well, he is. He's a good football player, you know, and whatever it is that you ask him to do, whether it's on offense or whether it's on special teams, you know you're going to get his best shot. And he loves the game, you know, just like Bryce loves the game. You know, you got guys like that that love the game, and you know, they play the game probably for free. If you took it all away and you just talk about loving the game and you know, enjoying everything about it, you know, those guys definitely do that. And, you know, you talked about it. You know, Wyoming's a team even that you're going to see them huddle. You just don't see that very much anymore. And so, but it's an exciting challenge here, and we're looking forward to having a great week of preparation.
All right, Mike, appreciate the time. Looking forward to what Saturday brings for you. Bryce, looking forward to the time. Thanks for the time. Looking forward to what Saturday brings for you as well. Did you want to be a cowboy growing up, by the way?
Want to be a Dallas cowboy?
No, just a cowboy. Like, oh. You can take it. Dallas, like, general. I feel like it's just a good mascot to have for a team.
Nah, man, I want to be a football player growing up.
From the beginning?
Good answer.
From the beginning.
There you go.
From the beginning, I got baby pitchers in pads, so... Yeah, nah, it's ran in my family, so, but nah. And then NFL, I mean, you know, where I'm from, we don't have an NFL team, any pro team, so I was always enamored with, like, college sports from all, you know, all college sports. You know, I was more so into that before any of the NBA or NFL stuff.
Who does one root for when you live in Kentucky?
I see it's either you're a Louisville fan or you're a Kentucky fan.
No, I mean, like, from a pro I knew that one. Yeah.
Nah, people are, you know, I have family that's Colts fans. You got Reds fans. So, yeah, if you go to a mall in Louisville, it's going to be Colts gear, Reds gear, and that's about it. Yeah, okay. Colts
so,
and Reds.
Yeah, so blue and red. Mm. Yeah, all right, well, looking forward to playing a different type of Cowboys. You had to – somebody – Emmitt Smith, nothing –
No, I'm telling you, I was all college sports, okay. Like Reggie Bush,
okay.
You know, people like that.
That works. Brian Brom back in the day.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, you know.
That's up your neck of the woods there, Mike, isn't it?
It is. Oh, yeah.
Did you coach against him in the Arena League?
Coached against Jeff.
That's right.
Yeah, coached against Jeff because okay. He was with the Louisville Fire for a short period of time. They had an Arena 2 team there in Louisville, and okay. Jeff was the head coach of that team for a little while.
It's an interesting world how it all comes together.
It is. All right. Very interesting.
Saturday, 4 o'clock on Saturday, the Cardinals and Wyoming Cowboys. Our coverage on WLBC begins at 3 o'clock. Until then, we say so long. We're back to break it all down next Monday, right back here on the Bird Feed Live.
This was the Varsity House Bird Feed on the Ball State GameBridge Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.